do something a bit deeper, a bit different than what we've been doing. We've been doing a lot of divrei Torah that are more simple, more general. I wanted to see if we could try and tackle a mimer, which is the idea of doing something that has a deeper significance. It might take us the next week or two. So let's see.
I have to be at work tomorrow morning, though.
Say again?
I have to be at work tomorrow morning.
You have to be at work tomorrow morning.
Take a couple of weeks.
I'll try not to hold you up that long.
Okay.
So we're going to learn a piece from the Or Gedolyo from Rav Gedalia Shor, who is from Torah Vadas. And he's basing himself upon the Chassidus Rebbe's. And let's see what he has to say. Parsha Shmos Misayemes B'Divrei Moshe Rabbeinu Lashon She'amar Lama Hara'ois Lama Zeh Shalachtani. Shmos ends with the story of Moshe Rabbeinu telling God, you know, why have you sent me to do this? Ever since you sent me, bad things have happened. You know, ever since I've come to speak in your name to Pharaoh, only bad things have happened. Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. And Rashi says, the Chazal, Rashi brings down Chazal, he cites the mimer, Ata tira, now you shall see, a drasha, now, v'loi ha'osu l'malchei zayin ha'umos k'shibayin l'aretz. Now you, Moshe, shall see what's going to happen to Pharaoh. You're going to see it now, as opposed to in the future, what's going to happen to the seven Canaanite kings when we come into Eretz Yisrael, that you're not going to see. That you're not going to be zoichet to see. U'pirush ha'dvarim hu, sh'alidei diburav shel Moshe Rabbeinu v'shalom, nigram kan, eza chisaron u'pgam. Moshe Rabbeinu's words here, when he complained kabayachot to Hashem and said, listen, I don't understand why you sent me. Ever since you sent me to be your emissary, God, bad things have happened to the Jewish people. By saying that, kabayachot Moshe Rabbeinu's words caused a pgam, some kind of a blemish. Something wrong happened, because he wasn't supposed to complain like that. And this caused something to happen. And now, the Geula, the redemption from Egypt, will not happen completely. Because had Moshe Rabbeinu not complained, it seems like from here, from this drasha, that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to redeem them, take them out of Mitzrayim, straight on to Eretz Yisrael, conquered the seven Canaanite nations, and maybe Moshe Rabbeinu would have been the Melech and the Manhig, the leader of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. However, by questioning the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga, Moshe Rabbeinu caused the Geula from Mitzrayim to be somewhat incomplete. And therefore, it fell short. This would cause further exile. It would lengthen the time outside of Eretz Yisrael. And this also caused that Moshe Rabbeinu would not be the one to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. It would be Yoshua instead of him. Now, to explain what this is talking about, saying, I told you once before, and we'll go into where he says it elsewhere, that something that's written explicitly, black and white on the Torah, you can't change it. Once it's written explicitly, black and white, that way in the Torah, that's how it has to be. Because there's something called, as we'll see, Seder HaTorah. There's a hanhaga, a way of the world, that the world functions according to Torah. And once it's said in Torah that this is going to be, it must happen.
What about all the death penalty things?
So you're asking about drushes. But I think that what he means is not about drushes, how we use a drusha to re-explain the words of the Torah to mean something that doesn't sound literal. I think he doesn't mean that necessarily that when you read the words of the Torah, it's meant to be taken literally. What he means is that if a story or an action or an idea is brought down, written black and white in the Torah, that can't change. So in other words, even though Chazal Darshan Mos Yumas as a different drusha, and that there wouldn't be a death penalty, that it would be Mammon, or something like that, or it would be it would die only if it was in this condition and that condition, that's different, that's the explanation of how to fulfill a mitzvah. But I believe what the Or Gedolah is saying here is, we'll see from the Kashrus and Magid, that he's talking about events rather than mitzvahs. That we're not talking about drushes that would change the idea of what a mitzvah, how a mitzvah will be fulfilled, or how we fulfill a mitzvah. We're talking about events that are written in the Torah. It has to happen. It can't be that they will change. Now, we know that that's not 100% true at face value either, because we know the concept of there being gzeros and decrees and tzaddikim having the power to change them. But I believe the idea here is like this, that there's two different hanhagas, two different ways of running the world, as we'll see. One is called hanhagat tivis, one is called nature. The world runs its natural course. There are certain natural laws that God set forth, as we know. We all learned in science that, you know, there's laws of gravity and laws of different forces in nature. We all know in the morning the sun rises and in the night the sun sets, and that, you know, there are such things as astronomical events like meteor shower, all these different things that we observe and that we know, and scientific observation and scientific explanations work, and we know that science has what to contribute, and it explains to us the laws of the natural universe, and we don't contest those laws. We know that normally, you know, the Earth turns on its orbit, and the sun rises and the sun sets, and that's how things are. But we also know that, you know, the sun stood still for Yeshua and forgiven. There was a miracle that Hashem, how can that be? We know that God set forth the same one. The same God that sets forth the laws of nature, he can suspend them at will. That's a concept we're all familiar with about Nisim. And now we're learning there's a different hanhaga besides what's called natural. There's a hanhaga that's called supernatural, meaning above nature, and that's not the same as a miracle. That's something called hanhaga tiranis, a Torah dik hanhaga, that based on the power that Am Yisrael given through Torah, they are able to be above what is written, above the things that are written. Now, how can that be? So we said that there's a difference between things that are written explicitly, and now we're going to explain the difference between things that are written outright, black and white, it has to be this way, as opposed to things that are hinted to or learned out from a drasha. So that when we say things in the Torah in terms of black and white, they must be that way. Because that we said there's a Seder called Seder HaTorah, and the Torah is telling us here that it has to be something that was learned out of a drasha, like here. We're going to explain where it says, Atatira, now you shall see. And Chazal learned out a drasha now as opposed to later. Now you're going to see it by Para, and you're not going to see it later by the Malachim. That didn't have to be. At this point in the Torah's narrative, when we learned the drasha that Moshe Rabbeinu would not be zoiche to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, that was not written yet in stone. That was something that could be changed. And therefore, it was only alluded to, only hinted to with the drasha. And things that are hinted to with the drasha are not written explicitly, black and white. Ein hadavar muchrach lios kein. Yecholim l'shanosa, that could be changed. Rak shebekoyach kvar nichol sederze. Potentially speaking, it's a possibility. So as soon as it's said in Pasuk, Ve'ata tireh, now you shall see by Paro that I'm telling you that you'll take out Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim, you know, that I'm telling you now, but later on, by the seven Malachim, that won't be the case. That was a drasha. It doesn't say explicitly like that. It only says a drasha. So based on the fact that it's a drasha, says Rav Gedalia Shor, that it could be changed. There's a power in Klal Yisrael to change things that are only a Rem is only hinted to. Ubnei Yisrael yash beyecholtam ledabek atzmam, thank you, lezeh haseder, o ledabek atzmam beseder lemala mizeh. Like we said, there's two different hanhagas, there's two different sdorim, there's two different levels. There's a hanhaga tivis, there's natural, the natural order, the laws of the universe, that we know that the world, God set it in motion to run it according to a certain seder. But there's a seder lemala mizeh, the seder of Torah, which is above that. Now you shall see Moshe. And Rashi said, you won't see it, Moshe. You won't see by the time of the seven kings when they come into Eretz Canaan, you will not be zoicha to bring them in and see their downfall. Yehoshua will do that instead of you. This was a potential hint, an illusion with an A, an illusion at the idea that it's possible that Moshe won't succeed in bringing out Bnei Yisrael completely from Mitzrayim to the point where he will not lead them all the way to Eretz Yisrael to the complete Geula. And at some point he will leave us, and then Yoshua will take over, and he will not live to see the victory over the seven kings. That was potentially alluded to by saying Atta, here, now. But it's a drasha. It didn't have to be that way. Aval befoyal, right? That was bekoyach. That was potentially speaking. Aval befoyal, zenase acharkach b'maisa shel mei meriva. But the story later about Moshe Rabbeinu, when he struck the rock instead of speaking to it, that's what sealed his fate, so to speak. And it was Moshe Rabbeinu, at this point, the narrative of the Torah gave an opportunity, opened up a window for there to be a possibility that Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't lead us into Eretz Canaan and into Eretz Yisrael. But that didn't have to happen until Moshe sealed his fate by unfortunately not sanctifying God's name in Mei Meriva. Because as long as it's only hinted to and alluded to, it's possible for there to be a change. And it says also in Parshas Va'era, V'nasati ata lachem moirasha, and I'm giving it to you as an inheritance. And the Baal HaTurim says, a remez, a hint, b'divrei Chazal in Yerushalmi, she'amru she'morasha loshon diha. Loshon diha means it's not clear. She'echel nefarsho morishim v'lo yorshim. Loshon diha means it's not clear what this word means. V'nasati ata lachem moirasha. I'm giving it to you as an inheritance. What type of an inheritance? Will it be that you will inherit it unto others, or will you inherit it yourselves? And that's what exactly happened in the end. It wasn't that these people standing now in Mitzrayim would be the ones zoiche to inherit the land, because the generation of the Midbar all died in the Midbar. After the sins that they did in the Midbar, they did not merit to get into Eretz Yisrael. Yoshua and Caleb were the ones among them that did merit. But the rest of the Midbar, we know the Gemara says that they kept dying and dying in the Midbar. That's one of the reasons that we'll be celebrating Tu B'Av later in the year. Tu B'Shat's coming up now, but Tu B'Av is also a day of celebration. According to one Man D'Amar in the Gemara, Yom She'Kalubo Meseh Midbar, it's the final day that those in the desert stop dying. Every day they dig their graves and lie inside, and in the morning people would wake up, and a bunch of them would stay in the grave and bury them, and they would continue on their journey. So they didn't end up all coming into Eretz Yisrael. So we know that the Lashon Diha, that unclear language, V'nasati ata lachem marash, and giving it to you an inheritance, was unclear. The Rishami says, will it be an inheritance to you, or will you be giving it over as an inheritance to your children? Which was in fact what happened in the end, that they gave it over as an inheritance. But again, because it's a hint, because it's alluded to, because it's not black and white, it didn't say black and white, you're all going to die in the desert. That's it, you're not coming into Eretz Israel. Had it said that, the Torah would be telling us a truth, a fact, and that would be irrevocable. You couldn't change it. But now that the Torah is telling us a potential concept, a remez, an idea, so the Rav Gedalia is saying to us that therefore there's a possibility for us to make a change. The minute that you have the ability to make a change, it doesn't have to be. Just like it said by Moshe Rabbeinu, now you'll see the downfall of Paro, and that hinted to the idea that only now he will see it, but he won't be zoicha to bring us there, so he won't see the downfall of the seven kings. It was a potential that it had to be that way. It was a possibility, and unfortunately, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he didn't succeed in Mei Meriva, he ended up not bringing us in. Same with the Yerusha. Had the time of the Meraglim, had Bnei Yisrael not spoken Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, had they not believed the Meraglim, had they not cried on Tisha B'Av for no reason, had they succeeded, so they would have come into Eretz Yisrael, and this drasha would have been the other way around. We would have darshan the Lashon Diha, meaning it's Yerusha for you, you'll inherit Eretz Yisrael. But the Lashon Diha was unclear. It ended up being a remez either way. And Tisha B'Av, when they cried, when they spoke Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, it ended up being that they lost the opportunity. And the Yerusha ended up being for their children and descendants and not for them. She'amru morasha Lashon Diha, Lashon Eno Barush, Yechon Lefarsha Marishin V'lo Yorushin, K'moshe Be'em Esaisa, Shelo Nichnasu Be'atzon La'aretz. Rak horishu ha'aretz livnei achreim. Aval nechtav came beferish. It didn't say so explicitly, but Torah. Ki adayin haya bekoicham l'shanas. They had the power and the ability to change it. Ubevada yiskayim adover. V'talu yadover bevchiras bnei Yisrael ech yisparish haloshen mirosh. And it was up to us, it was up to Klai Yisrael to decide how will the Torah be explained? How will the drasha fall out? Which one of the two possibilities for the drasha will become the actual fact, the actual truth? Im hem be'atzam yirshu'es arts, will we be the ones to inherit? O yitnu akoyach libnei machrem, or shall we give it over to our children? So we're learning a very important lesson here, because we're saying basically that this is an idea of Bechira Chofshis. This is the power of having true and free will. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ability to basically rewrite the Torah. The Torah says something. It's not clear what the Torah means because it's left on purpose. It's left ambiguous. It's left as a remez. It's left as a drosha. It's not written explicit black and white. Why not? Because it's giving us the opportunity to explain and give a perush unto the Torah. And we, through our actions, are rewriting what the Torah means. So I'll tell you a powerful idea behind this from the Alexander Rebbe, from Rav Chanuch Henoch from Alexander, the first Alexander Rebbe. And he said a similar idea. I'm gonna say it over. I think it's a bit more clear and more powerful than the way we just gave it over. So what happened was the different rabbis were together, and they each were saying different pirushim, different psukim. ואני אמרתי אז על המדרש אילו היה ראובן יודע שיכתוב עליו מקרה זו על כתפיו היה מוריחו וקשך היא ראובן היה עושה בשביל הכבוד. So the Midrash says about Reuven that had Reuven known that the whole story of Yosef was being written in the Torah for like forever, had Reuven known it was be recording, not only would have saved Yosef through this trick, he would have grabbed Yosef, carried him on his shoulders, and taken him to freedom. So Alexander Rebbe said, wait a second, are you telling me that Reuven was looking for like stardom? He was like looking for like to be a hero. Reuven knew if it was splashed onto the headlines of the newspaper, so he would have acted differently. It can't be possible. Reuven was, you know, one of the Shvatim. He was a big tzaddik. That can't mean.
The other way around. Busha of having not acted, not being the hero, but it's more like having.
Right. In Achinami. Either way, whatever motivation it was, whether it was a motivation, you know, against shame, or it's a motivation to be the hero, whichever motivation you want to say, it's still negative. How could you say that about Reuven, that he's motivated by shame? Reuven should be motivated by the highest of the highest of the high. He's one of the Shvatim. Either motivation you're going to subscribe, 100% right. Either motivation you subscribe to is negative. And you tell me that if you tell us that we act differently when we know we're on camera, okay, so that's about us. You can tell that about the Shvatim, it's not appropriate. I mean, we know that.